I just want to welcome you all here today. It is such a great morning. Even if it's not a great morning, it's a great morning. I mean, every time we get up in the morning, we open our eyes, and we see the light of the day, it hits us. We should be so thankful. God's given us another day, and sometimes we lose sight of those little things to be thankful for, because God is so good. He's so good to us. And that one song said, He gives and He takes away, which is true, but He always gives back more than He takes away. And He only takes away things that will improve us and help us to be closer to Him. He removes the things that will hinder our relationship from growing with Him. We've been on a... Oh, kids are dismissed. I forgot. I think they're all gone, though. So we've been on a series, Created for This. And today my message is titled, Faith to Overcome. So we need the faith to overcome the obstacles in our lives. How many people here today know that life, it can be a lot sometimes, right? It feels like it piles on top of piles until you just can't take any more, and then a little bit more gets piled on top. That's how life is. It's kind of like a roller coaster. Sometimes your life, you're just going up slowly, click, 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 and you get to the top, and you see this beautiful view, but before you can enjoy it, your arms are up in the air, and you're screaming, "Whoa!" And you're going down this hill and you're like, what's going on? Left my stomach up there. Then you go up again, then you go down again, then you go up again, and down again, right? It can be described as hills and valleys. And this is what the Lord brings us through. He brings us through hills and valleys. One day you're on top of the mountain. Oh, that's cool. A little delay. One day you're on a mountaintop, and the next day you're down in the pit. So is this just me? I know it's not just me. We all feel like this. And why, the question is, why is life like this? Is it just to keep things interesting? Is it some sort of cruel joke that God can watch us and say, hey, look, they're struggling. This is like reality TV, and He's sitting back and watching it. No, that's not what it is. It is, as Christians and followers of Christ, we believe those times in the valley, those are times where God is testing us, and He's testing our faith. And He's teaching us through His Word, and He's teaching us through His Holy Spirit. The valley strengthens our relationship with God. Sometimes we go there because of our own actions. But more often than not, God places us in the valley because He wants to teach us something. And we'll stay there until we learn the lesson. And sometimes that's the hard part, because we don't want to learn the lesson. We just want to get out of there. Wish we could run away. But Jonah tried to run away, and it didn't work, right? He got swallowed by the belly of a whale, and God said, no, you're gonna follow my will. You're going to grow. So at least we get to be in a valley and not in a whale, right? We smell a little better. But we should always be learning. We should always be growing. And the great thing is, when we go into the valley and we come back on the mountaintop, each time we're a little higher, each time we're a little closer to God, our relationship with God actually gets stronger. And this is why we go through these things. We need that perspective. Last week, Cam was talking about our testimony, and he shared how he came to know Jesus. And a lot of people think that our testimony is our conversion story, right? It's that moment, that hour, that second where you say, Jesus, come into my life, and how that happened. And that's true. That's part of our testimony. But that's just our conversion story. Our testimony is actually our entire walk with God. And a great part of that testimony is when we're in the valley, how will we respond? How are other people going to see us when we're going through the struggle? How are we going to come out on the other side when people are watching us? This is a great part of our testimony. And unfortunately, you can't spell testimony without the word test, right? So we shouldn't be surprised when we face trials of many kinds, because that's what we're promised to do in Scripture. Our entire walk with God, how we live, it's all a testimony. David said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And David knew his walk with God was so strong, and he was so close in a relationship with God that he knew God was with him, so there was no fear. And we can't have any fear. Today I want to take you through a passage of Scripture. It's preached on from time to time, but today I want you guys to look at it with new eyes. Maybe this is the first time you're hearing it, and that's great, but if you've heard it before, or 100 times before, I just encourage you to really open your spiritual heart, let the Holy Spirit speak to you, glean some new insights from this passage today, because I really feel this is for now. This time is now that this word is for, so it's really relevant. So I really want you guys to be open to hearing from God. This passage is found in Ezekiel chapter 37. Before we get into it, let's open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just invite you in today. I invite your Holy Spirit in today, Father, so that you can open our minds and our ears to hearing from you, God. I pray that I would be open to hearing from you, God. Place your words in my mind. May they come out of my lips, Father. May they change your people and impact your people today, Father. Thank you so much that you loved us so much and that you are love. Amen. So let's get into Ezekiel chapter 37. Let me just give you a little bit of background first. So this passage, it's about Ezekiel, of course. And Ezekiel lived at a time where the Israelites had turned their backs on God. They had kind of gone away from him for a little bit, and there had been a bunch of puppet kings put in Judah. And these kings were put in place by places like Egypt and other empires, and in an attempt to overthrow the Babylonian Empire. It was the greatest empire of Ezekiel's day. But no matter how hard they tried, they couldn't overthrow it. And Babylonian Empire actually went in to Judah, and they took away a bunch of God's people, a bunch of God's followers, and they brought them back to Babylon. And that's where we find Ezekiel as he's writing this passage. And in this passage, he's transported to a valley. So verse 1 and 2. The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Now, most people believe that Ezekiel wasn't literally transported to this valley, but the Lord brought him there through a vision. It says the Spirit carried Ezekiel away. Sometimes God takes us to the valley, but when he does, always has a purpose to teach, a purpose to strengthen. Often God wants to give us a vision of faith while we're in the valley, and that's what he's doing for Ezekiel. He takes him to the valley to give him a vision of faith. And Ezekiel goes there, and he sees this valley. It's filled with dry bones, bones that represent the nation of Israel, the people of God. The nation of Israel, it has gone through a lot of ups and downs, hills and valleys. Right? The nation of Israel used to be so great and so big. When it first came to the walls of Jericho led by Joshua, and they march around it, and the walls fall down, and they just have this amazing victory. And we see victory upon victory. We see Gideon lead a men of 300, and they just vanquish their foes, tens of thousands of them, because the Lord is with them, and they rely on God, and they believe in God. And then we see David come as a young shepherd boy, and he kills Goliath, and then he goes on to be one of the greatest kings Israel had ever had. And we see David in all his glory and his tens and thousands of men. And what happened is Israel had gotten so big and so strong that they started to feel they didn't need God anymore. They started to rely on their own efforts and saying, you know, we can do this without you, God, and become so self-sufficient that they ended up turning their back on God. And they ended up sinning, and then they became just like these bones in this vision. They were dry. Now, sometimes we become so great. Sometimes we become so self-sufficient, so independent that we think we don't need God. But God, what is he? He is so great. God is so big. God is so mighty. And every time his people lose sight of that, God is going to remind them of how great and mighty he is. And that is where Israel was in Ezekiel's time. Now, for bones to become dry, they have to be there for a very long time. There's some versions of the scripture that say these bones were bleached out by the sun. They were just sitting there for a long time, dried out, brittle bones. And the nation of Israel was also dried out. It was also brittle. It also was spiritually dead. That's what it represents. There's no spirit in them. How many people here today are in a hopeless situation? Hopeless. No hope. Maybe you feel the state of our nation here in Canada is in a hopeless situation. Maybe you feel politically it's hopeless. Maybe you feel that the people that live here are hopeless and how they're acting are hopeless. Maybe you feel that your marriage is hopeless. Maybe you're just in a dry state and you feel the love has gone and you say it's just so hopeless. Maybe you have a child who you raise the way it should go, and Scripture tells you and promises you that they will not depart from it when they're old, and you're waiting on that promise, and you're like, you know what? They're not coming back to God, and it feels so hopeless. Maybe your health right now seems hopeless. Maybe you've been given a diagnosis, and it doesn't look good. Maybe it's a diagnosis that's terminal. They say, the doctors say you're going to die. That is a hopeless situation. During your hopeless situation, what is the enemy telling you? Because the enemy, he will lie to you while you're in the valley. He will fill your heads with lies. And a better question is, what lies are you believing today? What are you allowing to seep into your mind that are keeping you in the valley? We can get stuck when we only see ourselves in the valley, when we listen to those lies, right? They're to distract us. But fortunately, God sees us in the valley, and he also sees us on the other side of the valley. He knows where he wants to take us, and he will walk with us, and he will get us through the valley if we rely on him. Don't resign yourself to staying in the dry, dead valley. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in what other people think. And what happens is we put up this guard and we put up this defense system, and we don't want people to know that we're hurting. We don't want people to know that we're suffering, so we can just isolate ourselves. And this is another way we stay in the valley. Don't put on this vibrato. Don't be so proud that you can't ask for help. It's only when we lose the false pretense of everything being okay that we can start to heal. It's like that saying, it's okay to not be okay. Right? That's where God wants us. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. What is in your bones today? If you have decided to follow Jesus, I will tell you there is resurrection power in your bones. That's what's in your bones. Amen? You have greater power. You have the light of the world. The light of the world that will cast out all darkness. All darkness, every corner of your mind, every corner of your soul, it'll be gone. And there is no fear in death. Your hopeless situation has hope. And throughout this message, I just want to keep encouraging you of that today. There is no hopeless situation. So Ezekiel's in the valley of dry bones, and God poses this question to him in verse 3. He says, then he asked me, son of man, can these bones become living again? O sovereign Lord, I replied, you alone know the answer to that. This is a good question. Right? Can these bones live again? Asking, can your hopeless situation turn around? Can the hopeless state of our nation be revived? Right? Can this recession be resuscitated? Right? I came up with that myself. Come on. Expect a little more. There's so many questions we can ask about our hopeless situations, right? Can the prodigal son come home? Can we live a life free from sin? Can your marriage that is failing be brought back together? Can those dreams that God put in your heart that once were so vibrant, once were so alive, but somewhere along the line they've died, can those be resurrected? Isn't that a good question? These are powerful questions. But these are questions that we don't ask ourselves nearly enough. Because the way the world works, they want to keep our minds off these questions. They don't want to keep us focused on these questions because these questions promote a relationship with Jesus. These questions promote Christians having the power and the authority of the gospel and going out into the world and making a difference. So the world will keep you distracted and will keep your mind numb and off of these questions. Amen? You see, God was testing Ezekiel in a hopeless situation. He was telling Ezekiel, I am not done with you yet. I believe this is a word you need to hear today. God is telling you, I am not done with you yet. God is not done with you. Maybe you believed that things are too far gone. Maybe you believe that window of opportunity, you missed it. You had a chance, but now it's missed it. You know that window of opportunity? That is a lie that the world tells you. There is no window of opportunity, right? Abraham thought he missed his window of opportunity to have children because he was in his 90s and then 100 and his wife was 90. But God said, no, now is the time. So don't give up just because you think, you know, your 20s and 30s are over. You can't start something new. You can't go out into it. Pastor Doug preached about how your most time to do things is in your 50s and 60s, your most productive years of your life. It's never too late. It's never too late to change. It's never too late. The truth is, our God is a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and fifth chances. Our God never gives up, right? Just look at Scripture. Look at Adam and Eve when they were first brought into this world. What happened? They sin. They eat from the tree of knowledge, right? And God says, that's the one thing I asked you not to do, and you did it. So God just ruined humanity and there was no more. No, that's not what happened. God gave them a second chance. And he lets them go into the earth, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth with people. Again, people, right? We just get so evil, so down. And he's like, man, you guys are all evil. But he spares Noah and his family, destroys the world with a flood, and then he promises not to destroy the world ever again by flood. So we see how God can just keep having mercy. God can keep having grace. He takes his people out of Egypt. He saves them, brings them to the promised land. And then here he is with Ezekiel, and that's what he's showing Ezekiel. He's showing Ezekiel, I'm going to give my people another chance. So he asks this question, can these bones live? But Ezekiel himself, it seems like he's not so sure, right? He doesn't really answer the question. I mean, he does answer the question. What does God say? God says, can these bones live? And Ezekiel's answer is, you alone know the answer. You alone know the answer. Yeah. If I came home one day and my house was a mess and a ruin and everything was broken, I have 5 kids, and I said, hey, who did this mess? Who was responsible? And they turned to me and said, you alone know the answer, Dad. You think that would fly? You think that would go over well? No, I would be getting to the bottom of it. I would be getting an answer. If I went to Tim Hortons and I ordered an ice cap with a shot of espresso, because, that is good, right? And they said, I said, can I have this? And I said, you alone know the answer to that. You know what I would do? I would leave and I would go down the street to another Tim Hortons, because that's not the answer I want to hear. That's not what I'm looking for. I would be frustrated. But God is not frustrated, because in his response, Ezekiel is showing us that he is unsure. He's unsure. Maybe Ezekiel had lost faith in the Israelites himself. You know, he's a prophet. He hears the word of God. He speaks the word of God. But he says, God, only you know. God, thankfully, is always sure. And God knows that he will never lose faith in us. And God sure will find a way to be in relationship with his people time and time again. He will always be in relationship with his people. That is a promise. Have you been in a situation where you only have enough faith to say, God, you alone know the answer? You say, God only knows. God only knows. Because honestly, you have no idea. You have no idea of the outcome, but you have enough faith in the situation to put it in God's hands and trust that he has the answer. This is kind of a great place to be. When you're in the valley and you get to this place where you're like, God, only you know, you're getting yourself out of the way. You're not trying to fix it yourself. You don't have all the answers. This is where you need to be in the valley, and this is where God can start to bring you out of that valley when you get to the God only knows place. There are many examples of this, and I believe that when you get to that place, that's where you can really declare that the battle belongs to the Lord. It's not our battle. It's not our fight. We try to fight it so often. It's not until we give it over to God that we can start to win. I've seen many examples of this. I remember one time I was in a small group of men and we were praying, and one guy there, he was having trouble getting pregnant, and him and his wife, and they needed help and they needed prayer. And I remember praying for them, and I remember God giving me a vision of these dry bones in this valley, and just seeing barren, like dry, barren womb. And I just remember God saying that, I want to bring life. And anybody who has the desire to have children, you know, I want to give them children. And we see that over and over in Scripture. There are so many promises that God promises us that we will have children. So we prayed, and sure enough, God answered that prayer. And they became pregnant, and they became pregnant again. And now they have this amazing family, and they're so powerful, and they're here at this church. And I just thank God that it's so amazing he can do these miracles. Hope in a hopeless situation. On the other hand, I still know there are people here struggling to get pregnant. And to those people, I say, when the world says you can't do it, when the doctors say it's not a good place, when they say it's dry and it's barren and there's no life that's going to come, you can say, only God knows the answer. The doctors don't know the answer. The world doesn't know the answer, right? But God knows the answer, and God will bring life where there is no life. He can take the dry bones and he can have resurrection. This is his promise to us, and I promise you, God will answer your prayer. God will answer your desire to have children. When we become Christians, we're told we're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And we get baptized. We see a baptized a few weeks ago here. You go in the waters, you come up, and you leave your whole life behind. This is the truth of the gospel. It says, who the Son sets free is indeed free. We're guaranteed that freedom. With this being said, and the truth, why do we sometimes slip back into our old habits? Why do we allow unbelief to creep into our mind? Why does that happen? Because I know it happens to me. It happens to everybody. And the answer is because we are losing the battle in our mind. Right? It's all in our mind. Jesus saves our soul, and our heart is made pure. We accept Jesus, he makes it his home, and he removes that burden of sin. We don't have to pay, no guilt and sin. But that doesn't mean Satan stops. In fact, what it means is Satan is working overtime to try and get you back off track. He'll leave those non-believers alone. He already has them wrapped around his finger, so he'll start to work on you. Satan is on the prowl like a lion. We're told he seeks, he destroys, he's a liar, he's a deceiver. Satan's been operating the same way since the dawn of time, since Adam and Eve. Just lying to us, getting us to believe the lies. He'll tell us so many lies. He'll tell us, you're not good enough. You'll never measure up. He'll tell us that God has forsaken you. I see that many times in Scripture where Satan's just like, God's not real. He's real, but he's not with you. He's not for you. God, he doesn't care about you. And we start to believe these lies. And in order to fight these lies, the answer is we need to start to reprogram our minds. We're told in Scripture to renew our minds, right? Renew your mind. Yeah. It also says in Scripture, you know, how a man thinketh, therefore he is. And a lot of times when we're in our mind and we start thinking these things, they can become your truth. We start believing them long enough and they become your truth. And they don't become the truth, because the only truth is Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. But what happens is we start believing them long enough in our mind that they become so true to us that we live our lives like they're real. We live our lives like God isn't there for us. If you believe a lie long enough, it will be true. So to combat against this, we need to be renewing our minds. Well, how do we renew our minds? How do we reprogram our minds from all the brainwashing that the world has done? You see the answer in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and praise, worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. Do you want peace in the valley? Do you want to know that you're on the right track? Do you want to let God is for us and not against us? Then start filling your mind of these things, things that are praiseworthy, things that are honorable. Why do we not guard our minds more? I feel like so often we just open up our eyes and our ears and we let everything pour in. Turn on the TV, you look at your phone, and it's just pouring into you. And all it is Satan lying to you and filling your head with all this garbage. You got to get that garbage out of your head. And you got to do that by thinking about things that are of God, higher things. Spend your time looking at the beauty that God has made in his creation. Spend your time loving the people around you and doing good deeds. If you start doing that, then your thinking will change, your mind will be renewed, and you're going to have to start having more success in your life. We have to keep it real. You know that saying? Keep it real, right? God is real. He's living. There's a member here in our church, he had this shirt on the other week, and it said, faith over fear. I've heard the saying a lot, faith over fear. Those really are the only two options. You have faith, and you have fear. Fear will bring doubt. Fear will keep you in the valley. Fear will stop you from reaching your dreams. This is what fear does. It'll tell you you don't deserve a successful, healthy marriage. It'll tell you you don't deserve kids. Maybe you won't be good parents. It'll lie to you and tell you to give up. Fear will tell you to give up on your dreams. Fear will tell you not to start that business that God wants you to start here this morning. Fear will tell you to stop being innovative. What would happen if we all gave in to fear? There would be no breakthroughs. There'd be no moving forward, right? Put the fear behind you. Fear says stay small and stay in the valley. But what does faith say? What faith does is when you call on the name of the Lord, the veil is removed. It's removed from in front of your eyes. It's like Saul when he was on the road to Damascus and then he had this encounter with God and he met Jesus and something like scales fell from his eyes. He was able to see the truth of the light. It's like that song, Amazing Grace. So that once was blind, but now I see. He's not talking about physical sight. He is talking about being able to see in the spirit. There is two realms, the physical realm and the spiritual realm. And the spiritual realm is real. So once we start to have faith, we can see the spiritual realm. The more faith we have, the more miracles we see. The more faith we have, the more healings you'll see. The more faith you'll have, the more people that will come to Jesus. Sometimes it's our faith that is so lacking. You can go to places that have so much faith, and all of a sudden there's God, and he shows up. We need to have more faith, and we need to have less fear. The two can't be together, right? It's like light and dark, faith. We have to have faith. Now Ezekiel, he called on the name of the Lord, and he said, only you know God. God, you're all-knowing. But he says, I trust in you. That's faith. Verse 4. Then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of God. Speak. Speak. God calls us to open our mouths. Too often we keep our mouths silent. We watch as things around us happen and we don't speak up. We don't speak up for what's right. We don't speak up for justice. We don't speak up for truth. Where there are areas in our lives that are dead, we need to speak to those dead bones to live again. Cam spoke last week about Lazarus, right? And he says Lazarus wasn't just a little dead. He was all dead. He had been there for days. And you think about it. How did Jesus bring Lazarus out of the tomb? He spoke to him. He said, Lazarus, rise up. Come out of that grave. Come out of that tomb. It was the words of Jesus that caused the resurrection to happen. And if we're going to speak life to the bones and have them live again, we need to be speaking. Don't be silent. Your words have extreme power. They have the power to bring life. They have the power to heal. But they also have the power to do harm. They also have the power to bring death. We see that in Proverbs 18:21. It says the tongue can bring death or life. Right? The tongue is the smallest part of the body, but it has the most power, it says, because of our words. So we need to make sure our words are just like in Philippians, honorable, true, and noble. We speak what God shows us. We should be using the power of our words to bring life. We should be speaking to the obstacles in our life, like the mountains, and we're going to tell them to move. Get out of the way. The mountains will be thrown into the seas. You say to that mountain, be moved, and it's moved with just a little faith. We need to be speaking up more. We need to be speaking about the visions that God gives us. We need to be sharing them with people around us. We need to be praying for one another. An amazing thing happens when you get in a group and you start praying for one another. God will give you the words to say. God will fill your mind with pictures. But if they stay there, they don't do anything. But once you start speaking those words out, once you start sharing the picture that you have in your mind, amazing things start to happen. And the Spirit starts to move, and you'll have confirmation, and other people will start talking. And before you know it, the Spirit is there. The Spirit is alive. People are getting healed. Why? Because you spoke. God gave you the words, but it was your faith that allowed you to speak them out. I urge you guys not to hold back. Don't keep it in. When God gives you something to say, you say it. Speak it out. Speak life. This has the power to heal. Has the power to heal broken relationships, broken minds, broken bodies, and even broken dreams. It's not only a prophet like Ezekiel that can speak to the dead bones. It's me and it's you. We're all called to speak. Don't think you're not qualified. You are qualified. You are good enough. That's what Jesus says. Speak life. And Ezekiel's called to speak life and he listens. Verses 5 and 6, God tells him what to say. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. This is what he's called to speak. And we're called to speak to the dry bones. You know, sometimes if we don't speak to the bones, they'll speak to us. If we don't speak to our valley will start to speak to us and keep us there. Sometimes you feel like the walls are closing in, like there's just little room to move, and like your voice can't get out. It's almost like a hand's being put over your mouth. This is a real feeling that people have. When you have that, the best way to break free is start declaring the words of the Lord over your situation. The word that God has given us in Scripture, start speaking them out. The Lord will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Right? God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of a power and a sound mind. God's given us a sound mind, not one that'll be like convinced to do bad things by Satan. No, we can be overcomers. This is what the Lord promises us. I'm always amazed at people who face these hard times in life, and maybe it's an ongoing struggle, but they just seem to carry it all without the weight of the world on their shoulders. Every time you see them, they have a smile on their face, right? Some of us can lose our shirt for not getting the right order at the drive-thru, or for having to wait in line too long, or, man, we really lose it if someone cuts us off in traffic, right? Those are important things. But these people have real struggles, real things going bad in their lives, the hardest situations, but they keep the faith. It's amazing. These people have chose to speak back to the dry bones in their lives. They speak back to their problems. They say, I may have been dealt this bad hand. There might be a lot of things going on, a lot of problems, but they don't allow their circumstances to control how they are on the inside. Right? They don't allow worldly influences to affect their mood because they have something so much greater, so much stronger inside of them. That's the problem. Sometimes we allow our circumstances to dictate how we feel, when really how we feel, it doesn't matter on our circumstances. God gives us something greater, a greater strength within us. And if you have that power inside you, you can use it and just speak over those things. I grew up in an environment, it promoted certain negative actions and attitudes and habits, negative thought patterns, fear, anxiety, stuff like that. And there came a point in my life where I was a teenager and I had to decide to put an end to the cycle. You know, my parents and their parents before them, they just keep doing this in a cycle, these bad things. And that's what Jesus is. Jesus is a cycle breaker, right? He gives us promises from generation to generation to be blessed, but it has to start somewhere. And I just remember praying over my life and not really believing it, but God was giving me these words and just asking to be free. And just only by the grace of God, I was set free from severe anxiety, severe fear. And now look at me, I'm up here talking to you guys, which I would probably pee myself, honestly, as a kid. Like literally, I would hide under the bed when someone knocked on the door. Like I just had severe anxiety. And it was just put on me through generations. But thankfully to God, you know, I broke free. I was in a valley, but God gave me the words to speak my way out of that valley. I had to make the choice. God will give us the words, but it's on us to obey. He says, speak. We see Ezekiel. God tells him exactly what to say, word for word. He says, say this. But Ezekiel needed to obey. And he did. Verses 7 and 8. So I spoke this message, just as he told me. Suddenly as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then I watched, muscle and flesh formed and the bones, then skin formed to cover their bodies. As he speaks, there's this rattling, right? There's just a shaking. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, as we're speaking it out, if you're in your valley today, does your valley need a rattling? Do you need to be shaken up? Do you need to be woken up? We do that by speaking the words that God has given us. If you're in a valley this morning, then I encourage you just to listen up. Listen up to what God is saying. Tune out all those other things, all those other voices in your head, and just lean in. Even right now when I'm speaking, I just ask that God would give something to you in your mind that has been dead that he wants to bring back to life. In the name of Jesus. Whatever that is, you need to start speaking life into it. You need to be like, yes, that is a dream that God has given me, and it will come to life. It will be breathed on this morning. I hear a rattling over broken marriages. I hear a rattling over broken bodies. I hear a rattling over our nation that needs to be set free. God will bring it. He will shake it up. He will bring things back into order, just like he brought this body back into order and gave it structure and form and life. He wants to do that for all of us. You feel it. It's revival. But Ezekiel 37 verse 8, it finishes by saying, but they still had no breath in them. They still had no breath. Ezekiel witnesses a miracle, really. He sees these bones come. He sees flesh, tendons, skin put on all these bodies, but it's left unfinished. And sometimes our valleys, they're left unfinished. We begin to see God working in our lives, and it's a work that is incomplete. It was left unfinished. Sometimes in our valleys, we are left unfinished, and we begin to think that God is done working in our lives, that maybe that miracle won't get completed. What's your miracle this morning that is not completed? Like Ezekiel is here, he's standing in front of all these bodies, but they're lifeless. It's a weird place to be in. It's kind of in between God completing it and just working it out. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. You see, our God is not a God of doing things halfway. Our God does not leave things unfinished. He says, I'm not finished with you yet. This is the hope I carry with me in everything, just like Philippians encourages us. Don't worry about it, but carry everything to God in prayer. If you're in the middle of it, and if you've had setbacks, you need to continue. Trust that God will complete it. Trust that God will complete what he starts. What's in your bones today? What do you feel in your bones? It's resurrection power. And maybe you've had a setback. Maybe things were going so good. Maybe you were diagnosed with cancer and you had the all clear, and all of a sudden, the diagnosis shows that cancer's back again, and you're just like, I'm going to give up. The miracle started. Now it's over. Maybe your marriage started to come back together. Maybe you were seeing a counselor and things were going good and you were working on it and you're like, yes, this is good. But then all of a sudden you have this huge fight and you separate and you leave each other and you say, it's over. It's over. Maybe you're making progress with your children and you're rebuilding that relationship and they were coming and then all of a sudden they're gone. Maybe you suffered with addictions and you overcame them and you got sober for years and then you had a relapse. And you're thinking, no, this is it. This is over. I'm done for. Maybe that's how you're feeling right now. Maybe your miracle started, and it's just not completed. When we hit a bump in the road, we don't give up, do we? No, we keep on keeping on. As children of God, we don't lose the faith. We increase the faith. We pray harder. We come together more. We believe. God says to Ezekiel, I'm not done yet. I want you to speak to the breath. So we look in verse 9. Then he said, speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message. Say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath, from the four winds. Breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again. Breath. The Hebrew word they use for breath here is ruach. This is the same word that was used when God breathed the universe into existence. When he breathed into Adam and brought life, it's the same word, that breath. It's the same word for breath that's used for the word of God that says all scripture is God breathed, that ruach breath. It's also the same word that was used to describe the Holy Spirit coming on the day of Pentecost. That breath, that power, Holy Spirit breath. It's more than a simple blow. This is the essence of all life. This is what will give life to our lifeless bodies and not just be like robots going through the motions, Sometimes I feel like I look out and people are like zombies and they're just like, oh, there's a post there, right? No, that's like what Ezekiel saw, like these lifeless bodies. But he wants to breathe on us. He wants to breathe in us his Holy Spirit breath. And we are hopeless without the Holy Spirit, aren't we? So if you need hope, you need the Spirit of God. Even as I preach to you today, I feel like my words are nothing without the Spirit. You need to speak in truth, but you also need to speak in the Spirit. The Spirit and the truth come together to reveal what God is saying to us. The Spirit of God moves. Things begin to happen. And again, Ezekiel obeys, and he speaks to the breath in verse 10. So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet. A great army. Great army. Could you imagine? All these people ready to fight, ready to do the will of God, revived with the Holy Spirit inside of them. I look at you guys today and I see a great army. Honestly, let me explain. You know, my son Everett, he just had surgery over a week ago. And those of you that don't know, he has this rare disease. In layman's terms, it's called bumpy bones because he has these bumps all over his body. They cause his bones not to grow properly and they cause him a lot of pain. And he needs surgeries to fix this. And this is his fourth surgery in the 10 years that he's been alive. And this one kind of caught us off guard. It was labeled as urgent surgery. Up till now, all the surgeries have kind of been preventive or to deal with the pain. And this one, it was corrective surgery because things were not growing properly to the point where it was quite visible. And they said, we need to correct this before he has his next growth spurt. So we had to get him in right away. And thankfully, they were able to get him in there. But to be honest, it caught Lisa and I off guard. And it did. It sent us into a valley. They had to do all these incisions on him, on his legs, and cut his MCL open, which is a ligament. Open it up, take the bone out, stitch it back together. I mean, I don't know if anyone's ever torn their MCL or something. That's a lot of pain. Then they had to take a bone off the other knee. Then they took his shoulder and his hand. And in his ankles, they put these screws in to try to bring his feet back into alignment. And there's so much unknown for us. Like, this was kind of like a new surgery to us because it just seemed so unknown. And all we could do is rely on our relationship with God, but also rely on our relationship with our church family. Lisa sends these updates on Facebook and through email about Everett's ongoing battle, and she titled it Everett's Army. Right? Everett's Army is just so appropriate to this message. I feel like, you know, everyone that supports him, we're an army. And when Everett was taken back into the surgery room and Lisa and I were put into this little waiting room, you know, the outcome, it was out of our hands. So we just had to let go, let God handle it. And that's like the worst part is the waiting. Like you're put in this room and we sat there for close to 4 hours just waiting. And as we're waiting, there's other parents there and they're there for like less than an hour. Doctor comes in, says, yeah, everything's good. And they leave, they come and they leave. And we couldn't do anything except pray. So Lisa and I began to pray. And I promise you guys, like literally, I felt your prayers. 100%. Those of you that were praying, I actually felt them. And it brought a peace. And it brought a comfort to me. And before I knew it, my prayer shifted from praying for Everett. And I started praying for everyone else that was in that waiting room. And praying over their lives. And praying for peace for them. And praying for their kids who were in surgery. And all of a sudden, the presence of the Lord just filled that entire room. And it was a miracle. This was a testimony for us to be able to offer this to the people around us in that room. He just moved so powerfully. There came a point where they called us into the recovery room. And so you go to the recovery room and Everett's not there. He's in another little waiting room, kind of like the normal doctors, right? You go from the big waiting room to the really tiny waiting room. You're sitting there and you're waiting. And then they roll Everett in on his hospital bed. And he gave me this smile. My kid's just gone through surgery. And he smiles at me, and I knew that smile meant that everything's going to be okay. I got this. And he is so strong and so brave. I mean, we named Everett, and his name, it means brave. And we didn't know he would suffer with this. We had no idea, but God knew. God knew that he would be so brave. And I preached before how Lisa had this vision of him just having this clear x-ray and being free from this disease. And that hasn't happened. Not yet. But through the valleys and through the mountaintops, God is using us and God is showing us. And I believe that his healing will come and that his bones will be completely revived and completely healed in the name of Jesus. And I know you guys support me and I know you guys stand with me, and we are truly an army. And we're not an army of lifeless bodies. We are an army where God's Holy Spirit is working in us and through us. I feel it. I sense it. I know it. This church is not dead. Just like the vision Ezekiel received, that the Israelites would rise again and they would receive the Holy Spirit, I have seen this church rise up and be revived, an army standing in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we will march out into the streets. We will take the gospel of Jesus to the lost and to the needy. And we will see a revival in Lethbridge. Amen? Yes. Amen. God is with you in your valley, in your hurting. Don't believe the lies that the devil tries to speak to you in your valleys. Speak to the dry bones in your life. Tell them to get up. Tell them to rise up. Live again. And allow the Spirit to lead you to new and to higher grounds. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you so much that you're with us. You'll never leave us and you'll never forsake us, God. I thank you that our walk with you and a relationship with you means we have an assurance through the storms that you will get us through. An assurance that our healing is just on the other side. An assurance that you will bring back relationships that have been broken. An assurance that you will bring dreams alive that have died, Father. I just want to take a moment to pray with anybody who hasn't made that decision to follow Jesus. You haven't started that relationship. Or maybe you've fallen away and you want restoration in that relationship. If that's you here this morning, then I would ask that you would just say this simple prayer after me. God is speaking to you, telling you, yes, come. Come into a relationship with me. If that's you this morning, all you have to do is say these words. Dear Jesus, I know I am a sinner, and only you can take away the sin that is in my life. I ask that you would come live in my heart. I choose to live for you all my days and make you my Lord and my King. Amen. Now with our eyes closed and our heads bowed, if you said that prayer for the first time, I just ask that you would lift your hand up right now. Yes, amen. Thank you, Jesus. I see that hand. Just take ownership of it. Thank you. God, thank you so much for saving us. Thank you so much that you do not leave us high and dry in the valley, Father, but you speak life into the valley. You speak life into our dead bones. And God, I specifically pray for that person here today who had that dream that died, Father, and you were telling them not to give up. You were telling them to speak to that dream this morning, Father. May you bring it to life again in the name of Jesus.